Worthy are you, Lord. Worthy are you, Lord. Worthy are you, Lord. Father, you are worthy. You are worthy of the songs. You're worthy of the praise. You're worthy of our time, Lord God. You're worthy, Lord God, of the resources back to you that you planted into our lives. You're worthy. You're worthy, Lord God. You're worthy. You're the most important thing there is in our lives, Lord God, and we want you to know that, Lord. Father God, right now, praise your holy name today. Praise your holy name. Father, we're here out of obedience to your will this morning. Dispatch your angels, Lord God, and guide us. Show us what you'd have us to do, what you'd have us to say, what you would have us to sing. Father God, right now, we totally surrender to your will, your way, and your word, Lord. And we just simply say today, have your way in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Thank you, music team. Amen. Hallelujah. I thank the music team for selecting the songs that they did and for this Sunday. Amen. Every Sunday, hallelujah, has a different song list. Hallelujah. God is a good God all the time. All the time. Hallelujah. God is good all the time. Find myself under the bright lights. Hallelujah. Not in Hollywood, but I'm in under the bright lights. I want you to look at somebody and say, time is running out. It's running out. It's running out. But sometimes we have problems waiting on God. The Bible talks about the fact that 1,000 years is like one day to God. I was just sharing with somebody, I think it was yesterday, how I was just amazed. You know, God told me something 48 years ago, and it was just 2 days ago that I understood what he was saying. 48 years. Amen? But during those 48 years, how many of you know that all I had to do is do whatever God tell me to do every day of the week? I had to worry about that. I understand it. I didn't even know I didn't understand it. I thought I understood it. But he made it real after 48 years. Goodness almighty. God is good all the time. Are you ready for a change in your life? Hallelujah. You know, COVID-19 just kind of cut the attendance down in half in this local church. And I'm sure in other churches as well. I know that in some other churches as well. You know, we still have larger churches. We got churches with 5,000-10,000 people in them and that kind of stuff, 2,000 or 3,000 or whatever. God's saying to me today, and I share that with you, God is saying, listen, it's time for us to go to the next level. Maybe that's him calling right now. Hallelujah. Whoever phone that is. Amen. God is a good God all the time. Hallelujah. Is that God, Johnny? Listen, it's the time is running out, folks. I want you to understand that. I don't know what I could say or what I can do or how long I'll have an opportunity to say it, but it's time for all of us. If you're here today and you're hearing what I'm saying, then you're in the right place at the right time for your life. God wants to take us to another level in Him.
Amen.
Amen. And I believe that God initiated this church here 32 years ago for the opportunity of many. Many have come and many have gone. For the opportunity of many to see God from a different perspective. Hallelujah. God has blessed this ministry. Yes. Hallelujah. Because that's part of his plan. And if you've been part of this ministry, there's no doubt in my mind you've been blessed. Somebody say amen to that. God is good all the time. One of the things that God wants us to do is to change our mindset. If you could turn that off, that'd be great, John. Hallelujah. That must be Sister Denise's phone, maybe. Uncle Earl's phone. Okay. It sounds like your phone. How many of you would like God to do something really special for you? Amen. 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 Now you put your hand up. Hallelujah. God is good all the time. We're in a season where, you know, the devil is moving really, really fast, and we've got to move faster than him. And one of the things that has to happen is that our mindset about who God is and what God wants us to do must change. It's got to change. You and I have been brought up in a culture, a Christian culture, the world's largest Christian culture there is. There's a reason for that. But you and I have the privilege of being raised in this culture. Unfortunately, what has happened is people have, when I say people, I'm talking in general. People have changed the purpose of God and the purpose of the church. And for some, let me tell you something, for some, it's just big business. It's just big business. For some, it's just reputation, it's just titles or whatever it is. But for you and I, it needs to be a place where God has called us to assemble so that we may grow. So that we may grow to the next level. Does that make sense to anybody here today?
Amen.
Amen. Money has never been a problem in this ministry and will never, ever be.
Amen.
Whether there's 1,000 people here or whether there's 5 folks here. Amen?
Amen.
You will never, ever hear us say, we need to take one more offering up. We need 5 more dollars. Because God always gives us more than enough. And he wants to do the same thing for everybody in the sound of my voice. Everybody. God doesn't want any of his children suffering or scuffling. He wants you to be comfortable. Isn't that what you want for your children?
Amen.
He wants you to have more than enough of everything. Everything. But one of the things that must happen is that we must escape the mentality of religion, of just doing things because that's what good people do. There is a God. Now, you're either going to give your life to him or the devil going to take your life. But I can tell you one thing, you're going to serve somebody. You are not in charge. Remember the time when you thought you were in charge and all the things you did? Remember that?
Amen.
You are not in charge. You're going to serve somebody. So if God has led you here to this local assembly, it's because this local assembly, for the time being anyway, has what you need to go to the next step. It's like God putting you in school. He may put you in school for a week. He may put you in school for a year. He may put you in school for 40 years. But if he's called you here, it's because you have a unique and special purpose. And as you've fulfill that purpose, you're going to be blessed. Oh, that's a word you ought to hold on to. It is impossible. It is impossible to be called to this local assembly, hallelujah, and you willingly go and submit to God without being blessed.
Amen.
It is impossible. Can I get a witness to that?
Amen.
It is impossible. Possible. Hallelujah. And the reason that is because the people are not going to bless you. The pastor's not going to bless you. The deacon's not going to bless you. The minister's not going to bless you. But if you're in the will of God, hallelujah, God's going to bless you.
Amen.
I want you to hang on to that.
Amen.
Today I want to talk a little bit, let me get to my notes, about serving to win. And I want to just talk a little bit about serving in the workplace. Now, some of you are not working at all. Maybe you're retired. Or maybe you got a business going on. When I talk about winning in the workplace, it's about winning wherever you spend your time, a large portion of your time. Some of you have a job. Some of us have a job. Some of you are running a business of some sort. Some of you are retired, you know. But God wants you to win wherever you are. And he wants you to win by displaying him in you and through you everywhere you go. What God wants is for us to have such a posture that wherever you go, people will just recognize there's something different about you. People are going to just recognize that the love of God is all over you. But that doesn't come from practicing religion. It comes from serving God. And when you serve God, you win. You win. None of us really understand why we're here. When I say here, I'm talking about on planet Earth. Because we're here for a reason and we're here for a purpose. And just like God told the man of God back in the Old Testament, listen, hallelujah, I knew you before you were in your mother's womb. Now that blows my mind. But if God said it, then it's possible and it's real. So if God has brought us here to be a part of his end time plan, then everywhere we go, he wants us to win. And we win by displaying Christ in us. That makes sense to anybody?
Amen.
That's how you win. That's how you win. Hallelujah. We've got too many people in our culture that have joined an institution that we know as of a church or a church building somewhere, but they're not living for God. They're not living for God. They're doing exactly whatever it is they want to do. They don't even seek the will, the way, or the word of God. They don't. They may show up on a Sunday morning, they may clap their hands, they may sing the songs, but they live in their whole life, their own life, the way they want to live it. Are you ready now to live for God? Are you ready to win? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you ready to win?
Amen.
See, when you start winning, you're going to dance all over your house. Hallelujah. Every room in your house is going to be a holy room. Today we want to just talk about winning in the workplace. And I've got about 19 little things I want to just share with you really quickly. But God wants us to be on display 24/7.
Amen.
On display. See, everybody that comes to somebody's building on Sunday, listen, we come with the right position, the right posture, the right smile on our face and everything else. But let me tell you something, all those folks don't go out like that. Sometime on Monday morning, they're totally different people. Totally different people. When you save, let me tell you something. When you save, you don't have to tell anybody you save. You don't. You don't. They'll just know it. There's something different about you. So God told me to tell you today, listen, every day he wants you to display his spirit in your life. Every day, 7 days a week. I think we got 7 days in a week, right?
Yeah.
Every day. Every day. Every day. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that every day your life should be such where you're walking as a minister of God 7 days a week. You say, well, I ain't got no title. You don't need a title. You don't need a title. You really don't need a title. The only reason I have a title here because everybody just need to understand organization. That's all. You just need to know the place that person's in so that you can expect them to do their job. But you are just as much a minister in your everyday life path as anybody in this church.
Amen.
Somebody say amen to that.
Amen.
Now, I'm talking to the saved people here today. Now, if you're not saved, listen, you need to get saved. You say, well, preacher, why I need to get saved? You need to get saved so you won't go to hell.
Amen.
That's as simple as it can be. I heard a guy one time say, well, I'll take my chances. I said, yes, you already are. We're all ministers, all of us. All of us. So our whole lifestyle should reflect that there's something different about us. Amen. But you know the other side of that coin, and I keep saying it over and over and over, when you carry yourself that way and you follow the Spirit of God, listen, blessings just overtake you. It's just overtake you. They just overtake you. And before you know it, you've got more than enough. But the problem is that we want to do things our way and our time frame. Come on now, you either save or you're not saved. One of the two. You either save or you're not saved. And if you're not saved, you're on your way to hell. You say, that sounds pretty rough there. I didn't create this thing. But I would be negligent by not reminding us of the choices in which we have. And if you save, then you're obligated to do whatever God tells you to do. Not another human being, but God tells you to do this thing. Some folks want God, but they want to be in charge too. It doesn't work that way. Amen. Raising up children. Listen, many times in our household, we have at least one child that wants to be the head of the house. Nobody else ever experienced that. They ain't had no problem with me. You want to go, you can go. Hallelujah. But there's going to only be one. It's the same way in the spiritual world. Either you're in charge or God's in charge. Which one is it, folks? Which one is it? Which one is it? God will choose what city you live in. God will choose what church you go to. God will choose what job you have. Come on. God will choose who you will marry if you let him. Today, I just want to emphasize the reality of winning this thing. And if you're hearing in the sound of my voice, it's because God wants you to win. Look at somebody and tell them that. God wants you to win.
God wants you to win.
From this day forward, we must have a paradigm shift in our thinking about our serving in the kingdom of God. From this day, we must understand and believe that we're serving for God. We're living for God. We're existing for God and not for men, not for some sort of power that I'm going to get, not for some sort of personal benefit. It's easy for me to say, but sometimes it's hard to live this thing because we've grew up in an environment where everybody wants what they want. Everybody wants to be in control. Even the positive mental attitude people, the people that teach positive mental attitude, what they're teaching you is to be in control. There's nothing wrong with having a positive mental attitude, but we must always remember who's in charge. Does that make sense to anybody? We must always remember who's in charge. And we have to stay close enough to God to where we hear his voice. So when he say, go left, you go left. He said, go right, you go right. Amen. We must serve with the intentions of winning for Christ. 24/7, 7 days a week. Let's take a look at our theme verse that we read last week. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 to 27. And I'm reading from the NIV version. It says, do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one get the prize? Run in such a way to get the prize. Run as if you want to be a winner in this thing. You're not totally sure why you're here anyway. So listen, just follow God and run like you want to win. Verse 25 says, everyone who competes in the games goes into some sort of strict training. That means they're doing some things they don't want to do, but they're doing it because they're necessary. They do it to get a crown that will not last if you're in a natural race. But we do it, come on, that's what Paul is saying. We do it to get a crown that will last forever. I can hear God say right now, well done, my good and faithful servant. All that stuff that we've been trying to get on our own, this doesn't matter. But when you do what God tells you to do, just a matter of time. Listen, here on earth you'll stop breathing and you'll be on the other side. And God is saying, well done. Don't you want to hear that? Don't you want to hear that? Listen, you still may be saved. You still may be saved when you get to the other side. But listen, if you haven't done what God told you to do, all you're going to get when you get to the gate, come on in here. Come on in here. But we don't want that. We want God to say, well done. Well done. God don't care how well I teach. God don't care how well you preach. Only thing he cares about is what he told us to do and whether or not we did it. Ah! And then that scripture goes on to say, in verse 26, therefore I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air, just doing something. No, verse 27, I beat my body. It means I'm doing things that I don't want to do, but I'm doing it because God told me to do it. No, I beat my body and I make my body my slave. Why? So that after I have preached to other people, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Amen. The prize is God saying, well done, my good and faithful servant. Now, if God can bless us on this end, how much more can he bless us on the other side? Hallelujah. Sometimes I ask God, let me have a little peep of what's over there. Just open one of the blinds. Show me a little bit. And I can hear his voice say, you'll know it when you get here. You'll see it then. You see, I'm going to talk a little bit about Paul. Paul was committed to serving for Jesus. You need to get back in that New Testament and read about the life of Paul there. His commitment to this course of ministry, it really didn't come easily for Paul. Paul had to go through some things, as you and I well know. He went through a lot of stuff. I'm not going to bring them all up now, but he went through a lot. But he had a made-up mind. I don't want you to miss this. Once he got introduced to God, to Jesus as God, he had a made-up mind. And my question to you today, do you have a made-up mind? Or are you with God today? Come on. And tomorrow, you're doing something else. Paul's commitment required personal discipline. It required strict training in his life, like that of an athlete who strove for supremacy in his or her particular field. See, I've never been an athlete, but I've been around athletes. I see how hard they train. I see how hard they work. And they're doing that because they want to win the prize. Amen. Do you want to win the prize? Yeah. And the prize is God saying, well done. Well done. And see, it's just a play on words. Because when somebody tell you, well, you've done well, you think it's about what you really did physically. But when God says, well done, what he's saying, listen, you did what I told you to do. Amen. That's all he's concerned about. You did what I told you to do. God is a good God all the day, all the time. Today, we want to focus on serving to win, on our jobs, and on our business, and in our businesses. Now, once again, now you may not have a job, or you may not be trying to run a business. Maybe you're retired or whatever. But listen, all of this applies, even to your relationship and your actions in your local church, wherever that may be. God wants you to win wherever you are, every day. See, if you got a job, everybody on your job needs to know that you're safe. Not because you carry a sign, you know, one of those big old holes, I am safe. All right? No. And not even because of what you necessarily say, but it's about your whole demeanor, Your whole demeanor. Think about it for a moment. Think about it for a moment. Christ came aboard and he picked out those 12 disciples. You know, he did things and he moved and his life was totally different from those disciples. When they're out there in the boat and the water came and the wind came and those guys were just panicking because all they can think about, how am I going to survive? But Jesus was moving differently. He was in the back of the boat asleep. Wasn't even thinking about it. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, listen, if you're going to win in your workplace or wherever you're at all the time, you're going to have to be different. People are going to have to see the difference in you. You're going to have to think different. You've got to talk differently. You're going to have to move differently than everybody around you. And you don't have to tell them you're saved. They'll know. They'll know. They will know. Why did God put you in that environment? He put you in an environment not because of you. He put you in that environment because of the people around you. Somebody got to see God. They're not going to see Christ in the physical body, but they can see you. They can see you. Hallelujah. That's why you're there. That's why you're in that particular place. It's because people coming and going, listen, they coming in contact with you. And coming in contact with you is supposed to be like coming in contact with Jesus. Ah, that's a lot of responsibility. God said, not really. All you got to do is do what I say. Well, today I want to do it, but tomorrow I don't know. I might just. You're not there for you. You're there for whoever's going to come in contact with you. But coming in contact with you is supposed to be like coming in contact with Jesus. How you doing with that? How you doing with that? Listen to me now. I believe that you and I are living in a season that promotion and profits are on the agenda for us. Promotion, if you're on a job, or profit, if you're running a business, listen, it's on God's agenda. Ha! It's on God's agenda. In every time he gives you an instruction and you fulfill it, boom, boom, a bell goes off and say, promotion, raise, benefits. Oh, my God. And all you got to do is do what God tell you to do. Whatever. 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 As a pastor, I'm not calling everybody every day saying, are you doing this? Are you doing that? No. Hallelujah. That ain't even my business. But the Holy Spirit will talk to you every day and tell you what to do and what not to do. Let me take you to Psalm 75, verse 6 and 7. Psalm 75, verse 6 says, for promotions come from the pastor. Oh, no, I didn't say that. It said, promotion coming neither from the east nor from the west. Hallelujah. Nor from the south. But God is the judge. He put one down and set it up another. Hallelujah. We got to get out of this religious mentality. Hallelujah. See, that religious mentality, when you come into the body of Christ and you get an opportunity to preach, listen, your mind says, I want to be the best preacher there is in America. Amen. Nobody cares if you're the best preacher in America. Amen. Hallelujah. What people want is for their situation to be taken care of. And that takes the power of God. That takes the will of God. That takes the way of God. God is a good God all the time. It's time, folks. Look at somebody, tell him it's time. It's time. Hallelujah. God's going to make this thing real to all of us. It's just a matter of time. He really is. He's going to make it real to all of us. And the closer we get to the end, hallelujah, the more we all going to see differently. God is good all the time. Hallelujah. However, in order to make sure that we're in position for these promotions that we're talking about and for these profits, We must make sure that our minds are set on serving and not on being served. Come on now. Come on now. Every child of God, listen, when you come into the church, wherever church God sends you to, wherever you're at or whatever, you ought to come in there with a mindset. If you know for a fact that God has sent you somewhere for a, no, he might send you somewhere for a Sunday, but I'm talking about if he sent you somewhere for a season, your mindset ought to be, how do I serve? Amen. How do I serve in here? God, what am I in here for? What am I in here for? If somebody gave you a new job tomorrow, listen, and you showed up, first thing you want to know, what do you want me to do? You would think it would be abnormal if you showed up that first day on work and nobody told you anything and you just sat in the lobby. Well, I think they hired me. Are they going to pay me for sitting? Now, this is a big one. Are they going to pay me for sitting in this lobby? No, they're not going to pay you for sitting in the lobby. They're going to pay you for serving. For serving. Well, most of the time when we get set into a church environment and God puts us somewhere, I'm not talking about visiting a church. I'm talking about being planted in a church. Most of the time, listen, we'll sit there for months, for years, and not even worry about it. We just want to hear a message. The message is in whatever you're doing. Hallelujah. It'll take you a while to catch hold of that. The message is in whatever you're doing. The message, and you're doing the message, hallelujah, will change your life. So we all ought to be asking God, what do you want me to do? Hallelujah. Why don't you just ask him right now, God, what do you want me to do?
God, what do you want me to do?
There you go. It's coming now. Many Christians don't understand that they represent Christ on their jobs and in their businesses and in their churches and in their communities. Everywhere you go, you're representing God. Now, I'm focusing on jobs and businesses, but it applies to your whole life. I want to take a look at how we can position ourselves for promotions and profit. We all want that, right?
Amen.
We all want that, right?
Amen.
See, you can't play this thing. We're living in a culture where people are playing religion. This is reality, folks. I'm not pointing fingers at nobody. But you know it and I know it. We see too much of it. Too much of it. Now, either God exists or he don't exist. If he don't exist, why even bother with all this stuff? But if he exists, then all we should care about is what does he want us to do? Amen? God didn't create all this just so that you can go somewhere and hear a message and feel good. Turn the TV on. Turn the radio on. Something's going to make you feel good. But it may not change your life. It may not bring the blessings that you want into your life. Let me just share some things that you can do, hallelujah, to position yourself, whether on your job, in your business, in your local church, in your community, or wherever you're at. Here's some things that you and I need to always be doing. Are you ready for this?
Amen.
First of all, you need to trust God for your success. Trust God. All right? Not your neighbor, not your friend, not your family. Trust God for your success. I want to take you to Proverbs chapter 3. Very familiar verse for this local church. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Now, I know you're smart, but you're not smarter than God. And then in verse 6 says, in all your ways. Everybody say all your ways.
All your ways.
Man, that just wraps it up right there. In all your ways. No exceptions. In all your ways, acknowledge God, and he will make your path straight.
Amen.
So the first thing that we've got to do is trust God for our success. Sister Eve and I have experienced that for the last 32 years here with this ministry. Man, God has been so good, so good. He has been, has God been good to anybody else?
Yes.
God's been so good. Ha! So good. Listen, I'm going to go far to say, if you're in this local church and you, listen, you've been submitting to God, you must be blessed. Your life got to be better than it was before you accept that assignment from God. Amen? You can't stay in this local church and submit to God and not be blessed. You cannot. You cannot. It is impossible. It is impossible. It's impossible. God's a good God all the time. So the first thing we want to do is trust God for your success. The second thing you want to do, no matter what you're at and what you're involved in, is be on time. Everybody say, be on time. We're doing whatever we're doing, whether it's a job or the business, whether it's local church or whatever. We're doing it for God. For God. So you want to be on time. Whatever that is, whatever that time is, you want to be on time. On time. I know running a child care center, we've had employees that come in consistently 5 minutes late, 10 minutes late. Because that's what they've been used to doing. You know? But God wants us to be on time. Now, if you're coming because God has sent you there, you just need to be on time. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 says, there's a time for everything. And a season for every activity under heaven. Be on time. Be on time. If God has created this local church, if God has created this local church and he selected a local pastor and he selected a certain time for services, hallelujah, then you and I need to yield to that. And that's no matter where you are. I don't know. I've been to churches, listen, where I've sat for 20 minutes and 30 minutes before the service even started and they're advertising a certain time. I'm saying, why are you doing this? Do you know what kind of reputation that's putting on God? Huh? We're going to be on time. Wherever it's at. Now, that includes your job or your business or whatever. Be on time. If everybody else is late, you be on time. Amen. So people can say there's something different about that person. Number three, be dependable. Everybody say be dependable. Be dependable. Be dependable. You say you're going to do something, do it. You're a child of God. Do it. Do it. Number four, in your environment, wherever it is, dress neatly and appropriately. Hallelujah. Now, God gave me this. God said, just tell him to come on up to another level. Tell him to get serious about all of this thing. Dress neatly and appropriately in any environment that you're in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're a female and you're representing God, you don't need to go somewhere where all the attention is going to be on your body. Get quiet and hear it in. Amen. Our whole environment is changing. Now, being the age I am, I've seen a lot of changes. Hallelujah. But now, it happens so suddenly and so casually, you don't realize it's a change. It's a change. I was over at Walmart the other day, pulling up in Walmart, and it seemed like every female that came out, it wasn't every now, I use that word, but it wasn't every one of them, but there's a whole lot, all of them had short shorts on. Now, I know some of these people go to church. I don't mean just short shorts, I mean short, 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 short. The only purpose of that is to draw attention to your body. Was that what God would have you to do? No. Why aren't we drawing attention to God? See, if you come in there appropriately dressed with a smile on your face, come on. Speaking to people as they speak to you, that's going to draw a whole different spirit. Hello? Amen. But it's become so normal in our culture, we don't even think about it. We really don't. But being the age I am, I've seen an environment, a whole culture that didn't dress like that. I know things change, but they're not changing for the better. They're not changing for the better. But you and I could represent God, hallelujah, even in our dress and in our dress code. Amen? Even when you come to church, even when you're participating in whatever services you're doing at the church, you know, we shouldn't do things that's inappropriately. We shouldn't even dress inappropriately. Our mind should constantly be on representing God in everything we do. Amen. Hallelujah. Number five, I want you to be an ambassador for your company, wherever you work at, wherever you're doing, whatever you're attached to. What are you saying, preacher? As a child of God, we not only need to be an ambassador for God, but we need to be an ambassador for whatever you're attached to. If you're attached to a business, you need to be an ambassador for that business or that company. If you're part of a local church, you need to be an ambassador for that local church. I don't mean you need to be a recruiter, because you don't necessarily need to be a recruiter, but you need to be an ambassador. That means you need to carry yourself in such a way it does not bring reproach upon that company, upon that ministry, or upon that job. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? There's people getting good, paid good money, but then when they leave the job, they go talk about the job. Hello? There's people that go to a particular church, but when they leave the church, they talk about the leaderships of the church. And my question is, why are you there? It don't make sense. It don't make sense. It don't make sense. So be an ambassador for whatever you're connected to. Just be an ambassador for them. Just let the good about them come out of you. Or don't say nothing at all. But be an ambassador for them. Number six, don't let your job or your business be politically oriented. And I want to take you to Isaiah chapter 2, verse 22. Talking about being politically oriented, that means getting on one side or the other side and going this way. I don't want to get into all that. Isaiah 2, 22 says, stop trusting in man. It's not about man. We trust in God. Amen? Stop trusting in man who has but a breath in his nostrils. Or what account is he anyway? That's what that scripture say. Who you only trust? Trust in God. But when you start taking sides, listen, that becomes political in a sense in your environment. You don't want to be bothered with that. You really want to be bothered. You know, God had to deal with me about that. Because at one time I was a chairman of the Republican Party here in this county. Because I believed what they were doing and what they were saying. But God said, you can't do that. I think I was in that position for about 4 years. And God said, you can't do that. He says, what you've got to do, you're going to have to change your affiliation. You're going to have to become non-affiliated or independent. Because being on one side or the other divides people. Hello? Oh, I know I'm talking to somebody here today. I know I'm talking to somebody here today. Most of us have come from an environment where we've been in a certain party all our lives or been affiliated with a certain party all your life. All that God says, all that's going to do, Dan, is divide folks. That's all that's going to do is divide folks. So he said, I want you to drop that party thing. And it had nothing to do with the Republican Party or the Democratic Party. But it had everything to do with taking a side, taking a stand. God says, you can't take a stand for the Republicans. You can't take a stand for the Democrats. You with me. You with me. You with me. So you vote for who I tell you to vote for. Not who party they are a part of. I know I'm speaking to somebody here today. God said, you can't go either way with that. You with me. You with me. And if you want to know who to vote for, ask me. And I'll tell you. Some of us are still caught up in that. I understand. It's part of our culture. We've been doing it for a long time. A long time. And I want to encourage those of you that are still part, hallelujah, of a political party to ask God what he wants you to do. I'm not telling you to get rid of any political party. The message is not about political party. But ask God. That's part of winning for God. What do you want, God? What do you want? Amen. Hallelujah. You and I don't, We don't have the authority to make those decisions. God, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want? God made that thing real to me. I've already spoken on it for about 60 seconds now. I won't speak on it no more, but listen to me. Open your eyes to what's happening now in our culture. Open your eyes in our culture, what's happening in our culture. The Republicans are not working with the Democrats. The Democrats are not working with the Republicans. It is not happening. It is not happening. If we've got a Democrat in charge, then their way goes. They don't care about nobody else. If we got a Republican in charge, then their way goes. Hallelujah. And therefore, all the decisions are made by one party. That shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. So God said, oh, don't get away from that thing. Just get away from that thing. Number seven, don't let your feelings become more important than your job or your business. Oh, I know some of you had your feelings hurt somewhere along the line. Even maybe in your local church, you've had your feelings hurt. Hallelujah. But don't let it become more important than your job or your business or whatever it is God's telling you to do. Don't let it do it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 says, give thanks in all circumstances. But some people can deal with you to the point where you want to give up. You want to give up on them. You won't be bothered with them. God said, don't get into that. That scripture goes on and says, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Don't let your feelings become more important than whatever God's telling you to do, than whatever he's positioned you to do. Don't get into that. People can make you want to run away. Amen. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Amen. People can make you want to walk away. Amen. People can make you want to lead the whole thing long. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is a good God all the time. Hallelujah. I can tell you some stories about that for a while. Number eight, be businesslike and productive at all times. Be businesslike and productive at all times. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4 says, lazy hands make a poor man, but diligent hands brings wealth. So what are you saying? Several things. First of all, don't socialize on the job. You know, you're not there to party with nobody. Are you with me? Don't socialize. And when you come into the local churches, listen, God give you something to do. Listen, this is not a party. This is God. We have lost the reverence for God. Don't bother other employees doing their jobs. Don't do it. Don't use business resources to do personal things. Oh, I'm messing with somebody now. Come on, you know that's not yours. Leave it alone. Number nine, be willing to serve beyond the call of duty. Be willing to do more than you think you're supposed to do. So many times we hear people say, that ain't my job. That ain't my job. Be willing to serve beyond the call of duty, whether it's on the job, whether it's on your business, whether it's in the local church, whether it's in your community. Be willing to go an extra mile. Be willing to go an extra mile. If you're willing to go an extra mile, say, I am.
I am.
All right. I know some of you said I am because somebody said next to you. I understand that. But be willing. God to call you, listen, call you to go further than you ever thought about going. Call you to do something you never thought about doing. So always be willing to go beyond the call of duty. Always. Always be willing to do that. God's in charge. I don't know what you and I are getting ready to confront, but God said the time is running out and we got to make up our minds. Hallelujah. Who's in charge of this thing? Verse number 10 says, be willing to be stressed. Be willing to be stressed. Sometimes, let me tell you, working with certain people will stress you out. Are you with me? Sometimes doing the same thing over and over will stress you out to the point you get to the point you say, I can't do this no more. Oh, yeah, you can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. Be willing. be willing. You know you don't want to be stressed. You want everything to be peaceful and nice and calm all the time. It's not going to be that way. Somebody going to get on your nerves. How do you show love when the people start getting on your nerves? You go to God. Say, God, help me. Help me. Number 11, do what's right. Everybody say, do what's right. Do what's right. Just do what's right. Talking about waiting for God, always do what's right. Do what's right. And you know what is right. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Hallelujah. You want to do what's right? Do what's right. Always. Just do the right thing. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't have to give you a list. You know what's right and what's wrong. Stealing from people. That's wrong. Amen. Cheating on your spouse. That's wrong. Come on. Are you with me? Lying is wrong. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm sure we can come up with a whole book of stuff that's wrong. But just do what's right. You say, well, preacher, suppose I don't know what's right. Go to the Father. And then follow the peace. Just go to Father. I don't know what God's getting ready to do, but he's getting ready to set us up. Hallelujah. Not only to get some things in place, but to bless us. To bless us. Some of us are missing out on our blessing simply because we've been doing things our way. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. You know, if you got some children in your home, you've been giving them allowance. Listen, allowance every week, every 2 weeks, every month, or whatever you do. But all of a sudden they say, well, look, I'm not washing no dishes. Well, you ain't getting no allowance. Right? Amen. You ain't getting it. And I ain't arguing with nobody. And don't come back and ask me for it no more. Till you do what I tell you to do. Let's just do what's right. Number 12, be honest. Everybody say, be honest. Be honest. That kind of goes hand in hand with doing what's right. Amen. Acts chapter 24, verse 16 says, so I strive always to keep my conscience clear before God and man. How do you keep your conscience clear? Do what's right. Do what's right. Do what's right. Number 13, be loyal to that environment. Whether it's your job, your business, your church, your community, whatever, be loyal. Stick with it. Don't let the devil talk. Be loyal to whatever you're attached to. Be loyal to. You remember the devil come up to Eve and said, did God say that? Now, she knew what God told her about that. She knew, but she couldn't be loyal to God. And the devil will come and trick you. He will come and trick you to make you disloyal to something. Proverbs 24 and 21 says, fear the Lord and the king, my son, and do not join with the rebellious. The rebellious is always going to try to get you to be disloyal to that place or that person or that situation God has placed you in. Be loyal. Be loyal. Number 14, have a servant's heart. We talked about being willing to serve at any given moment. Have a servant's heart. Mark chapter 9, verse 35 says, sitting down, Jesus called the 12, and this is what he said. He says, if anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and the servant of all. See, when you develop a servant heart, you're willing to do whatever needs to be done. Hallelujah. You're willing to serve wherever needs to be served. You're willing to help wherever help is needed. Even if you don't even agree with the way that person or that group is moving, as long as they're not moving unholy, like they just got a different opinion, but you're willing to serve. Amen. Always be willing to, that's why we live, to serve. Amen. I think in our minds, we think we're living to get a bunch of stuff. You're living to serve. You serve God and you're going to get a bunch of stuff. That's the way it works. Hallelujah. Number 15, don't pick up other people's offenses. They mad? You don't have to be mad. Amen. Hallelujah. Proverbs 1 and 10 said, my son, if sinners entice you, do not give in to them. Don't follow doing what they're doing wrong. Don't do it. Don't pick up other people's offenses. They're mad. You don't have to be mad. Hello? See, the devil will use people to get you mad on your job or in your business. Come on. Maybe against a boss or whoever running the place. And then you'll be carrying something that you don't even know why you're carrying. Don't do it. Don't pick up other people's offenses. Number 16, have a positive attitude when you start your day. Early in the morning. And I thank God for that 15 minutes of prayers that we do as a group in the morning. And that's open to anybody that wants to get online to do that. But because it starts the day good. It starts the day well with us. So have a positive attitude when you start your day. Because if you don't, let me tell you, your day will become worse and worse. Somebody know what I'm talking about here today. Have a positive attitude. 17, we're almost at the end. 17, always maintain a sense of humor. Always try to do that. Proverbs 17:22 says, a cheerful heart is good medicine. A good medicine. But a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Always maintain a sense of humor. You know, God is equipping us. God is, you know what this is doing for us today? Putting armor on us. Amen. It's putting armor on us. Why do you need armor? Because you're getting ready to go into battle. Amen. I don't know what's coming. I don't know what's coming at all. But God is putting armor on us. Are you with me? So if you hallelujah. So if you take these words and you equip yourself with these words, when whatever comes, you're going to be ready. Amen. You're going to be ready. Number 18, be willing to adjust to changes. Mark 11:22 says, have faith in God. Have faith. That's what Jesus told him. Have faith in God. God is an awesome God. Hallelujah. The very fact that we're taking our time, listen to me. The very fact that we're taking our time and going over these things, and basically today we're saying, look at yourself. Look at yourself. Look at how you're carrying yourself. Does it line up with the will, the way, and the word of God? Or you are being deceived and you're walking into trouble? The very fact that God have us share these little topics with us today, let us know that something is getting ready to happen and we need to be prepared. Something needs to change. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. The very last one, verse 19, says, remember, no one is indispensable, which means absolutely necessary. No, none of us is indispensable. You can keep doing things your way if you want. God, when he come to his timetable and he'd run out of patience. I'm using that term, run out of patience. I don't know if he can or not. But when he comes to that point, when enough's enough, he'll just say, next. Next. And let you go on about your business and put another person in your place. Next. Didn't he do that for Saul? Saul come on scene, want to do things his way. Was his way a bad way? Not necessarily, but it wasn't God's way. So what did God say? Next. Next. If we want to serve the Lord and win his reward and his approval, we must pay the price. We must decide that we're going to win in our workplace, wherever that's at. Whether it's in your job, your business, the church, the community, we've got to decide that we want to win for God in the workplace. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, help us. Help us. Help us. Let me just have a moment of quietness, just for a moment. And during that moment of quietness, you ask God to just point out those things that need to be changed in your life. Father, we just thank you for showing us what we need to see. Now we agree together, understanding the power of agreement. We agree together, Lord God, for victory over those areas that are weak in our lives. We decree and declare that we are winners, not winners for ourselves, but winners for you. We agree together, Lord God, that from this day forward, we will represent you, Lord God, everywhere we are, in every environment that we find ourselves in, we will represent you. Now, Lord God, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God, for the rewards that are on their way. Bless us. Bless us. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 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 Why don't you stand up?